gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Texas, consider yourself messed with. Hook 'em horns. Hook 'em.
Did Texas mess with you?
Oh, look at me. Look at me, you stream. I've already spilled coffee down the front of me. Jim is going to have to examine my unexplained ass bruises later. Good morning, Jim Ward. Thank God Dr. Sweezy is here. Yeah, Lisa told me this morning I have unexplained ass bruises.
Hmm.
And I also slammed my knee into the stage trying to get back on stage.
Or maybe Lisa caused them.
No, I wish.
No. You wish?
It's those old person unexplained bruises.
That's the Texas version of meet and grope.
I got groped good.
You replied, you wish. That's a door into your psyche.
I probably didn't mean to say that. That's probably the jet lag talking.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Austin. We love you. What a show. Somebody on Facebook actually said, I don't know how she doesn't break a hip. I have the same conversation with Lisa every Monday. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm too old for this. Who do I think I am?
I'm too old for this. Well, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm the Danny Glover of the Sexy Liberal Tour. What the hell? Oh, dear God. All right. Let's see here. Steve in Houston writes, Steph, great show in Austin. My hot Republican wife likes John. Oh, we met her. Likes Hal and John, but really loved you. She's never expressed an interest in women until she saw you Saturday night. The thought of you two together made me stiff as a Romney.
Oh, God.
After the meet and grow up, we rushed back to the hotel so she could occupy Ball Street.
Wow.
See, that's the side benefit of people's wives getting all hot over Hal and John is then the husbands get the...
It's collateral damage.
Yeah, they got to take one for the team after that. Anyway, all right, and the big hometown show, Buffalo, New York, coming up this Saturday at Shays. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Oh, and then I inadvertently already announced this.
What?
By the way, tickets are going... I don't understand what's happening in Chicago for the March 3rd show where the tickets are...
They love you in Chi-Town.
They're flying, and also, hello, Minneapolis.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show made Minnesota one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour in 2011.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, 2012, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour featuring John Fugelsang.
You're smooth, you know.
Hal Sparks.
Little guy, kind of funny looking.
And Mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You darn tootin'.
Come on in, tell me, Mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sex.
Uh-huh.
Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Get it.
Yay, Shano!
Right, you better hurry. Get all those upcoming tickets. You can see the tour schedule on sexyliberal.com. Speaking of sexy liberals that thrill me. Mm, yeah. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Great stuff as usual. I love the, you talk about the biggest media story of the year really is the phone hacking scandal at Fox. And I love your Nexus search. Bill O'Reilly has covered it once, which means it's one more time than Sean Hannity.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a small story, and there's the latest news, which was actually broke on the Media Matters radio show over the weekend, was that the MPs, the parliament members of parliament, were under surveillance for months from Murdoch. So it's not just phone hacking. They were following politicians around and things like that. So this is a huge story, you know, the nexus of politics and media. And not surprisingly, Fox News has just sort of pretended it doesn't exist. I mean, every now and then there's an update. You know, when James Murdoch testified, they did actually, you know, bring themselves to report that in one or two lines during the day. But Bill O'Reilly, who you know, I mean, I can't even begin to imagine if the New York Times or NBC were at the center of a story like this. I mean, right. O'Reilly would have to air a second hour every night just to cover it for the last 3 months.
Eric,
so
in fairness,
he has mentioned it once, and Sean O'Hannity has taken a vow of silence and today has never mentioned the story.
Good Catholic boy that he is, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And Bill O'Reilly, perhaps, in fairness, it's the having to say phone and scandal next to each other that makes him...
Well,
that's awkward and too close to home. All right. So the other thing is you have a with Cain right-wing media fails first test of 2012 campaign. Yeah, we've talked about this last week, Eric, but really kind of incredible how they've handled this. They just do not know what to do about the Herman Cain story.
No, so they sort of lash out violently, and by the end of last week, it was just, you know, sort of old-fashioned blame the victim stuff, really rancid sort of misogyny we found at the New York Post, you know, calling a Cain accuser a gold-digging tart, and that was being nice. The stuff on Fox News is just rancid. The stuff on the blogosphere is rancid. And look, I mean, you know, partisan conservative media can play an important part during a campaign. You know, they can help debunk stories and they can do important media criticism. They just have totally, you know, revealed themselves again to be sort of these hacks, total hacks.
And I think the way Fox News reacted to this story is part of the reason why more women don't want to come out and point fingers at their accusers.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, I mean, they get dumped all over, just really hateful sort of dumpster trolling stuff.
I love that they the race baiting. It's like exactly what they've been doing to Obama since day one. They accuse us of doing to Herman Cain. When, as you say, like, no one's made this racial about Herman Cain. I mean, there's nothing in the original political story that has anything to do with race.
No, if you look at the political reporting, which has been, frankly, you know, the right-wing press went after political, all this awful reporting. It has been by the book. Yep. They've done an amazing job. Nobody on the right has been able to puncture a single, puncture any holes in the reporting. And right, if you look at the regional piece, there's nothing to do with race.
Yeah. My favorite.
But they immediately globbed onto that, and then they globbed onto the misogyny and blamed the victim and all the usual.
Eric, my favorite thing is you always pick out these tidbits no one else finds, but that Eric Erickson promoted on the homepage a Reader Diary that suggested that the media was covering the story about child sex abuse at Penn State University because, quote, journalists think it will hurt Herman Cain.
Of course.
Yeah. What?
That's Red State. That's supposed to be sort of the leading light of the conservative blogger sphere, and Eric Erickson has a job at CNN because he's such an insightful analyst. And this is the stuff he's pushing on his website. It's really just amazing. So, like I said, I mean, and we haven't even talked about the insanity Rush Limbaugh has been sort of wallowing in. But this was sort of the first big critical test, I think, for the campaign season for the right-wing media, and they made complete idiots out of themselves.
Yep. Let's get some more, shall we? Let's dive into the right-wing world. Gretchen Carlson, you know, anything, Eric, that the president does as president of the United States will be considered political at this point, I guess.
Welcome back, everyone. 16 minutes after the top of the hour, President Obama has decided to delay now a key decision on the future of a pipeline, one that would create 20,000 jobs until after the elections next year. That's when he's going to make the decision. So is he putting campaign politics ahead of jobs for the American people?
No, he's putting campaign politics ahead of environmental concerns.
Exactly. 20,000. I mean, they may as well just call it 200,000 jobs. Million jobs.
Yeah, right.
Jillion.
Full employment if you would just sign off on this. The idea that a president might be playing politics with something, I guess that's news. They didn't seem to mind when George Bush scheduled an Iraq war vote 3 weeks before, the 2002 election. So it's not exactly historical that presidents tread lightly around election days.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Fox Business Channel anchors on
irreversible climate. climate change. The International Energy Agency is saying it may be as soon as 5 years away.
So we asked you in the one burning question today about all this, whether it's a real threat or an attack on capitalism. Here we go. Van. This is, there's no scientific proof that any such global warming is man-made, even if it has any legitimacy.
Oh, boy.
I guess proof would be the main word there. Most of the science, almost all the science, proves
that
some sort
that
of...
That there is some sort of warming.
Yes.
What causes it is the
that's
question.
Any idea.
Wow.
What's causing it.
Global warming, an attack on capitalism.
Well, at least they're acknowledging it exists.
Yeah,
that's a step in the right direction.
That's sort of radical for Fox News.
Yeah, wow.
That scientists think it actually exists. So I guess... that's progress in a way.
Boy, that was the dopiest little, a little anchor banter I think I've yet heard in right wing world. Let's go, Sean. Oh God, Sean Hannity and Ann Coulter on the radio.
There's an outside chance Newt Gingrich, with his poll numbers going up, that
let me finish over Newt Gingrich.
Well, that's stupid. That's just dumb.
This is why. Okay, let's accept he's going to be a country club Republican. That's better than this Marxist. Muslim in the White House now. He's not really a Muslim. He's an atheist.
Why do you say Muslim? It's Muslim.
No, it's like the way liberals say Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
No, that's not how Araldo says it. It needs to be a lot more guttural.
Wow. Where do you even start with that?
Yeah.
It's okay that she called the president a Muslim. She just pronounced it wrong. Is that his point?
I'm shocked that Sean Hannity knows how to pronounce Nicaragua. That's amazing. He's not nearly as dumb as I thought.
Oh, wow.
He hides it well, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You know what? We're just going to let that lay there, Eric.
Oh.
Eric, you okay?
I'm sorry.
Okay. He was calling for help. He was getting a lifeline to answer that latest.
That's my Sean Hannity bat line or something.
All right. Eric Poehler remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World after this. 18 minutes after the hour of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Synthesizers.
Pardon me? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. Back full strength, Tim Ward in hour one. Yay!
What? You don't say.
All's right with the world.
The deuce you say.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Eric Bollert remains with us for Right Wing World. Oh, Rush Limbaugh, must we?
Political correctness is working. People are censoring themselves.
Mm.
Not for any reason other than somebody might get mad and get offended and start raising hell or act like a little whining baby or what have you. So back then, 1990, let's say, so that's 21 years ago, was funny. It was rip-roaringly funny. Today, you should ought to see the staff. Don't rush. Don't. Like 1990, do it! Yeah, keep on. That's funny. Don't do it in just 21 years.
Hmm. I must have missed the part where he got politically correct, Eric.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it would have been, joking about calling Michelle Obama the first linebacker instead of the first lady, which he did just a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Yes.
That would have been okay and funny, I guess, 20 years ago if we had an African-American first lady. So I don't buy it. I think Limbaugh has become incredibly more sort of hateful and offensive, and they always use this PC line of attack, but there's nothing to support it, really.
Yeah, well, who better qualified to make fat jokes about anybody, frankly? All right, Jonathan Honig on the Fox News.
Unions have destroyed every company in which they've been intimately involved, every industry,
really?
Whether it's the auto industry, whether it's the airlines. I mean,
really?
The history very much speaks for itself.
It just speaks for itself. Look, it's all destroyed. Look at it.
Wow, excuse me, Eric. Did he cite the auto industry in which unions took unbelievable concessions and worked together with the auto rescue?
The unions
and now
are
they're
a
in
reason
the,
we
yes.
have weekends.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, and now they're back in profits and have paid us back. Really? They're citing that as something that they've destroyed.
So unions have destroyed every industry. So it was... Wall Street is unionized. Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, and all those companies that had to be bailed out, that ruined our economy, that drove the economy into the ditch. All those traders are unionized. All
yeah.
those those are all union shops. I mean, give me a break. Yeah. If they want to talk about companies that have serious problems, they might want to, you know, look at Wall Street.
Yeah. All right, Lou Dobbs and Monica Crowley. Do you think Herman Cain has a woman problem, maybe?
Herman Cain, referring to the House Minority Leader, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, is Princess Nancy.
Look, you know what? If you're running for president, sure, your language should meet a higher standard. But this was the radio talk show host in Herman Cain, and frankly, one of the reasons why he's in the number one position is because he is refreshingly honest. Mm. He doesn't bite his tongue. Sometimes it gets him in trouble, but sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. Sometimes he's telling the truth. I don't think he
should
apologize
for this. Sometimes he's telling the truth.
Yeah. Wow.
She got something right there. Sometimes he's telling the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're being accused of sexual harassment on sort of a chronic basis, the one way to prove that you don't have a problem with women is called the former Speaker of the House, Princess Nancy.
Yeah, and then maybe mocking Anita Hill on top of it. Maybe that'd be a good.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He got caught making jokes about Anita Hill, and Fox News was completely defended him. There's nothing wrong with this. I mean, you know, when Bush was in the White House and Republicans ran the Senate, I mean, the number one thing you could not do was, you know, question the authority or mock people in power. You always had to show the utmost respect, no matter what side of the aisle were you on, or it was unpatriotic and all this stuff. But now, you know, Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House, so you can just make fun of her all you want. And he's running for president, and he's using this kind of language, and people don't think it's kind of goofy,
Eric,
and weird. I mean,
yeah, Eric, before you go, I got to get your take on this. So, you know, obviously the headline is Rick Perry's support has plummeted after his latest, you know, flub. But Herman Cain's support has also declined. I mean, is this just, you know, fodder? I mean, all before Romney actually gets the nomination or what?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, the whole script is completely written. I mean, he's going to win the nomination. He's going to do it without any enthusiasm, and then he's going to lose next year. But the press will not tell that story. The story of the fall is how Romney has completely failed to gain any traction with the Republican Party. And you know, the D.C. media is married to this narrative that it's a toss-up, and we won't know. It's going to be a nail-biter.
Well, it's, you know, the new story.
Romney can't win in a million years.
Well, right, and the new storyline, Eric, is maybe Newt Gingrich.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just tweeting about this. I mean, there's a new battleground poll that has Obama beating Romney by 6 points, up 13 points among independent voters, beating Romney among seniors, and the political headline is Obama vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The press is just committed to this, you know, we're going to keep it close, we're going to pretend it's going to be a real horse race, and the indications are it's not going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Eric Bowler, great stuff as usual. We will see you next week.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
I love that.
The men can't wait to get off the phone with me moment.
Yeah.
Okay,
I gotta go.
All right.
I'm the same way with you.
Well, you hesitate at a certain hour even when you see the caller ID.
It's like, damn it.
Drunk dial. What does she want? Yeah, the Romney's support at 32% in the latest poll. Cain's dropped to 27%. Gingrich is increased to 22%. Rick Perry, 4%. Poor little feller.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. All right, 29.
I thought it was going to be 5%, but then...
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You should not let your gay friends tell you what to wear sometimes. That's what it comes down to. A straight man to say, great bazoomalos.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Time to get rude.
It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
You're so sultry this morning.
I am. I have been so many places the last few days, and I'm stuck somewhere in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Listen, I hear you. I'm a road warrior myself now.
You've been organizing Blanket the Earth. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. It's an effort to bring warm weather gear to the occupiers at the various Occupy Wall Street locations, should there still be any left come November 25th,
right.
Black Friday.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you will. You're saying the idea on November 25th, the day after Thanksgiving, people will gather in designated spots in cities around the country where there are encampments of Occupy Wall Street, and then you want blankets, socks, sleeping bags, hand and foot warmers, sweaters, anything to keep folks warm, right?
That's right, and the idea here is to, again, have people actually there. It's not just donating material or money. I want to, especially now with all of the crackdowns going on the occupiers all over the country, I think a show of support of people who aren't necessarily camping out would be a real sign of encouragement and support for the whole movement. And
yep.
So doing that on October 25th would be terrific.
Awesome. Awesome idea.
November 25th. And then any information you can get on my blog and also rudepundit.blogspot.com. And also I'm starting to post people who are organizing in various cities on Facebook, which is just facebook.com/blanketTheEarth.
Yep. Oh, cool. Yep. I visited Occupy Austin this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, it's but like you say, in a lot of places, getting colder out there.
It's getting colder and it's getting meaner. I mean,
yeah.
What happened in Chapel Hill last night was really pretty much like something out of a movie.
What happened?
They sent in, I can't remember if it was dozens of police in riot gear into an abandoned building that the occupiers were in, and just rounded people up and broke up the entire occupation.
Right, they.
Yeah, at Portland, there was a huge Portland, Oregon. There was a huge standoff. It's getting intense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, honey, great idea, and we our listeners are on it. So let's talk. We got to talk about the Republican debate, Jim. What did we learn from the latest one? Michelle Bachmann says what now? Oh, first of all, Iraq needs to pay us back, and it was a big foreign policy. Yeah.
Yeah, they owe us per dead soldier. I think they owe us $several million.
Yeah.
What about all the people we killed or caused to be killed by starting the unnecessary war in the first place?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll send them, you know, $2 and a goat.
Yeah, well, we're actually sending them F-16s, apparently, so they can start fighting Iran again.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know, the 80s are coming back.
You might as well just resurrect Saddam. What the...
But you write, at least from this past Tuesday, you write, election lesson, Republicans learn that Americans aren't quite as crazy as they are. So, you in your usual rudeness, the analogy you make is, let me put this in perspective. For the last year, Republicans have been walking around with big ons, sticking them in everyone's face. Tuesday, voters across the country smacked those erections and said, get those things out of our faces. So you talk about it specifically, right, in Ohio and in Mississippi, et cetera.
Yeah, in Maine and Arizona. And that Arizona one, by the way, that's a beautiful one.
I mean, that was Russell Pierce.
Literally citizens rising up and electing a guy named Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
Punch
Cliven on the voting card.
Well, the retirees there probably thought the nice man from the telethon.
You'll never vote alone.
So, yeah, in Ohio, you say Republican Governor Bill O'Reilly's washer, Kasich, got punched by over 60% of the voters.
Wow.
Yeah, they really did just hand him his ass. There was no the momentum against the end of collective bargaining bill that had passed through the legislature there was just stunning. I mean, it was the kind of thing that it was an embarrassment in how far the pendulum swung against Kasich. And again, Kasich, just like Scott Walker, they didn't campaign on these things when they were running for governor. And so you surprise the voters with something that's going to take money out of their wallets, and they're going to turn viciously on you.
Yeah, and you write in Mississippi, nearly 60% of voters, no, really, Mississippi, you say nearly 60% of voters said, you know, we like birth control and IVF and abortion by rejecting zygote rights. In Maine, over 60% of the voters overturned a Republican law that ended same-day voter registration. Why? Because it was just an obvious way to disenfranchise Democrats. It seems like certainly in some areas people are getting wise to this.
Well, it's not that they're necessarily completely turning against Republicans per se. Right. What they're turning against is the crazy. There's just a level at which they're saying no. That's not what we were talking about. We might have supported the Tea Party, but we weren't talking about abortion. That wasn't really what we meant. Right.
That's what the congressional Republicans have spent all their time doing. They ran on getting jobs. They haven't done one thing on jobs. It's all been about anti-choice and whatever, right?
And that's right. And show bills, like they're going to vote on a balanced budget amendment again in the House. And it's like, come on, this is the games have got to be over. And you can say they call out the Democrats in the Senate for doing show votes like that, but at least those votes are about things that are to demonstrate that Republicans don't actually want to give people jobs.
Yeah.
And a balanced budget amendment automatically gets rid of tons of jobs.
Yeah. Well, your conclusion is, you say the real lesson is the Tea Party is dead. The only thing Republicans need to figure out is that they're tied so tightly to the corpse that it drags them down into the drink, too. I mean, yeah, that could be it, right?
Well, yeah, because I think that the economic message of the Tea Party, whatever it was, the anti-corporate side of it has been co-opted by Occupy Wall Street and turned into something progressive. And so now that we actually can talk about something in our national dialogue on our economy that is not just about deficit reduction, it really sort of gets rid of the need for the Tea Party and their ideology, and the people that maybe were leaning towards the Tea Party in polls saying they supported the Tea Party 6 months ago, a year ago, now are seeing, oh, wait, this is the message here in Occupy Wall Street that's better crafted and actually has something to do with my damn life.
So the only members of the teabaggers are Coke suckers now.
Yes,
pretty much.
Well, look at the Republican field, Rude. I mean, Rick Perry, what did I just read here? Four. He's at 4%. And, I mean, he was the Tea Party candidate. Michelle Bachmann, right?
Yeah.
And even Herman Cain, obviously, is a Tea Party guy, and his support has stagnated or slightly declined. I mean, it really does look like Romney's the guy at this point, as much as they hate him.
And you've heard me say this so many times, it's almost like a mantra. It was always going to be Romney. The rest of this is just reindeer games until we get to the Romney nomination.
Well, I got to ask you something. I just was thinking of this morning, though, is, we see poll after poll and, hear, analyst after analyst talk about Mitt Romney's support. I mean, is it the thing that we've all said behind closed doors that a big percentage of the Republican base is just bigoted and they're not going to vote for a Mormon?
Well, that I think is the discomfort. It's the reason they can't commit to him.
Yeah.
They've committed to flip floppers constantly in the Republican Party.
Mitt Romney can't commit to him.
Yeah. But it's for some reason with Romney, there's this other thing that they can't get past, and they can say, oh, it's because when he was Massachusetts governor, he actually did some things that weren't jerkish, but now they have to come up with something, and I think the Mormonism is a huge block. And I also say, I give credit to Romney. Romney has stopped trying to court the evangelical vote.
Yeah. I think countrywide, once he gets in the race, Rude, you tell me what you think, but to me, already his record's not holding up. He's running as the businessman, job creator. All you got to do is say 47th in job creation in Massachusetts when he was governor, and that he outsourced all these jobs as a businessman. I mean, right?
And outsourced his dog to the wind.
Yes, that too.
Which, again, is a story that we can never get enough of.
And I
love
it.
Gail Collins in the Times always bringing it up. To always remember Mitt Romney put his dog on the roof of his car for a ride down the highway.
For 12 hours.
For 12 hours.
Yeah.
Tortured the dog. I also love what Obama said about the Republican candidates, that he doesn't really need to craft any negative ads. He just needs to play their own words.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Oops.
All you need to do is keep running that picture of Romney playing with the dollar bills with all his Bane buddies, exactly.
Yeah.
He's just out of step with the times, in my opinion. Rude, great stuff, and great job on the blanket, what's it called?
Blanket now? The Earth.
Blanket the Earth. There you go. Do it. Rude says too. RudePundit.blogspot.com. Thanks, honey.
Bye.
All right, yeah, he's on the road as much as I am.
Send him riot gear along with the blankets. Yeah.
Oh, he's being a road warrior like I am. Von Ciel in Asheville, who came to show, it was awesome. She tweeted me, she retweeted a Kathleen Madigan Lewis Black tweet from this weekend.
I saw that. That was funny. Yeah.
Said, I hope the airport gift shop is selling new livers. She had the same kind of weekend I did. Debauchery. All right. Well, we're giddy because of, you know, the GOP feud going on.
Basically. Welcome back to the GOP feud. Okay, gentlemen, we surveyed 100 Republicans. What is something to feel good about? Ron.
Helping the sick.
Let's see, helping the sick. Remember, Ron, these were Republicans we asked. Yes, Republicans. Okay, Jim, something to feel good about?
I won't say execution.
Survey said execution.
People dying without health care. Booing a gay soldier. Torture.
Show me torture. And you won. Thanks for playing GOP feud.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Yeah, that was the latest. That was the latest to add to the yay for torture. Did you see that?
Yep.
Great. Yay. Yay for sexual harassment. Yay for torture. All right. All right. We'll talk about the latest GOP debate mess as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Keith in San Antonio on the Stephanie Miller Show on the debates. Hey, Keith.
Well, Stephanie, they're bulldozing all the Occupy protests over, and we got over 90 bank failures this year. You know, y'all need to have that Alex Jones guy from InfoWars on here.
Yeah.
Talk to him about it.
He's probably right about everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes. Anyway, Keith, go ahead. You were talking about the last debate.
Yeah, well, you know, you got Mitt Romney had 18 minutes, I think, and Ron Paul had 89 seconds because he was basically taking the stance of anti-torture, the only person on the stage who takes that stance. But
yeah.
I mean,
he's a little turd in the punch bowl. I love him.
They don't like him in the Republican Party.
Yeah, he's got a little tiny scared old man head in a big giant suit.
He got applause, though.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Good.
Why doesn't he just run as a libertarian and just get it over with?
I keep wondering if that's going
to
happen.
He has as much chance to win as a libertarian as he does as
no, and he'll split the
Republican.
Exactly. And then Obama will win by.
You know,
Because
it'll be the Perot thing all over. Yeah. Obama will win even bigger. I'm telling you, he'll split more of the Republican vote.
He has no chance of getting the nomination as a Republican, so he might as well just run as a libertarian.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I love he. Just his little tiny old man hand, just he kind of pops up and then it'll say something that in the crowd normally just.
Yeah.
Although he was even trying to help Rick Perry in the last debate. He looked like he wanted to spoon with him inside his giant suit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Here, hide in my giant suit. It's where I hide when I screw up.
He makes tons of sense until he says that he'd rather have blacks and whites separated at the lunch
Stop
counter.
Stop making sense. That's when the big suit actually.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm just poking the Paul people with a sharp stick.
I know you are. Boink. Tom in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, writes, Steph, I just want to say Rick Perry may not be a very good debater, but he's a very good Christian. He believes in the Father and the Son and the other one. Yes! See, I stole that joke for my Austin show Saturday. Okay. Michael saying, Steph, Saturday night I watched Cocoon and the debates. One was a delightful fantasy science fiction story. The other was Cocoon.
Yeah.
Look at the listeners with the jokes. And Greg in Indianapolis says, Steph, anyone up for a debate between Bob Dole and Herman Cain with third-person references?
Bob Dole thinks Herman Cain should stop referring to Herman Cain in the third person. Bob Dole thinks makes Herman Cain look like fruitcake. Well, now you are just an old, cranky old man. And Herman Cain thinks Bob Dole ought to stop being a cranky old man and just go back to doing the Viagra commercials. Well, Bob Dole thinks Herman Cain ought to stop banging the Hoochie Mamas. on the side.
Oh, by the way, Mrs. Hoochie Mama and Gloria, calling Gloria.
Yes.
She answered Greta Van Susteren's call. It'll air tonight.
Yep.
That'll be interesting.
Greta Van Susteren had her number.
Yeah, sure. She got the alias she'd been living under with that fancy Fox journalism.
I believe Gloria said that Herman Cain respects women.
Sure. Yes. Sure. Of course.
Boy. This will be a hard-hitting interview.
Jim respects women, too. That's why he has to touch as many as possible.
Mm-hmm. Out of respect.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Herman Cain, I think the Used Food Emporium may be going out of business.
Come on down to Used Foods Emporium, where everything must go. All of our 999 convenient locations are going out of business due to an unexpected and unfortunate litany of sexual harassment settlements and agreements and settlement agreements. We will be shutting our doors. Used bananas, cucumbers, and zucchini are reduced to only 69 cents a pound. That's savings you can rest on your shoulder.
Jeez.
Mix and match used nuts, only $4 a sack. Used tea bags ready for another dip in your pot are just a nickel apiece. And for this final go-around, all of our used foods are 100% tax-free. Thank you for your support of Used Foods Emporium, soon to be former home of the softest apples in town.
That's an apple.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh.
By the way, speaking
of
used
food. No, that was Ken and Cleveland.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ken and Cleveland. Sorry, Kenny Pick. Yes,
that's right.
Go ahead.
Speaking of used food, I found out something else about your wonderful girlfriend, Lisa, who's not only drop-dead gorgeous and a sweetheart, she can cook.
She can. He's eating my used food. Mm-hmm. I'd like to feed the mook.
Well,
it's a little thank you for coming in early.
Well, because I left my
food. I come in early every day, and I'm on time.
I don't appreciate you. Jim gets my used food. Mike in Chapel Hill, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
I heard you express dismay about the arrest in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
And the news accounts here are that these are known anarchists that occupied a building illegally about two blocks away from where the peaceful occupiers are.
So it's a
different perspective.
Yeah. Thank you. While he was eating my leftovers, and I still heard Agent Provocateur.
Agent Provocateur.
Okay.
You learned nothing when you were in France.
Yeah.
My pronunciation's not the same when I'm not eating. He was swallowing something. All right, so as I mentioned, GOP support for Perry plummets after debate plug. I guess he didn't really redeem himself. He just sort of...
Yeah, he was a little more affable, but nothing can...
Yeah. The moderator made a little joke about it. I believe we have that. His gaffe. It's the NBC News Wall Street Journal poll.
Governor Perry, you advocate the elimination of the Department of Energy. If you eliminate the Department of Energy...
Glad you remembered it.
Hey. I've had some time to think about it, sir.
Good, me too.
Okay, that was funny.
Herman Cain's poll has softened slightly.
What?
I don't think that can happen.
After another charge of sexual harassment, his support has stagnated or slightly declined. One pollster said the beneficiary is Mitt Romney has slightly improved his position, while Newt Gingrich is the candidate who's gained the most from the Perry and Cain camps.
Number six with a bullet, frankly.
Well, the NBC Wall Street Journal poll, Cain and Romney were essentially deadlocked. And then, the whole thing is all cattywampus now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. So in the resurvey, here's the, Romney's support jumped up to 32%. Cain's dropped to 27%. Gingrich has increased to 22%. Oh, Rick Perry, 4%. Just 4. He's down to 4. He's down to single digits.
They should just call it the Romination.
He's getting almost huntsman-y in his, in his numbers. Yikes. All right, Herman Cain at the debate.
People say, are you doing this because you want to be rich and famous? No. I was on my way to cruise control.
Huh?
Was that a joke?
I guess so.
Oh.
As in cruising? Is that what he said?
I'm doing this to get even more hot chicks.
I'm just looking for Hoochie Mama.
All right, 58. He didn't say that.
No.
In our thought bubble.
Right.
Yeah. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, I've been rode hard and put up wet again. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Woo! Hook 'em horns. Thank you, Austin.
Did you have some good barbecue?
Oh, I did have some good Q.
Did you?
I did. Indeed, I did. Yeah, it was delicious.
Oh.
Also, I had some good Tex-Mex at Guero's. Awesome.
Yes.
Love me some Austin. All right. And, go to Sexy Liberal on Facebook, Sexy Liberal. But the Sexy Liberal Facebook, that was crazy. Crazy. Cheryl writes, perfect night. I brought friends who've never heard your show. One said she laughed so hard she couldn't breathe. You have 6 new fans. Breathless fans, apparently, who can't breathe.
I love your show.
Charlie writes, great show. My side hurts from laughing. These are the best tickets money that and the best money I spent all year. Aw, thank you, Charlie. Jeffrey, awesome show. Face still hurts. A lot of face hurting. reports.
Well,
Natalie.
That could be the falling over drunk on your face.
Yeah, that could be it, too. Natalie, my hubby and I had a blast. We're grateful to the tour for bringing us, all of us Texas liberals, together. It was a great feeling to be in a room with so many like-minded people, smart people. I'm starting to think they're not buying tickets to see us. It's just to be with each other. That's what's happening.
Well, especially in red areas like Texas.
Yes, it is. Just a place to get away from the other people.
Yeah.
They're not really even watching us anymore. They're just talking amongst themselves. Marcus writes, a great show last night. Part liberal tent revival, part pep rally for us displaced liberals, and all comedy laughs so much. My face hurts. Here you go. Face hurting again. Kent, a wonderful show. I lost my belt laughing so hard. That's a new one.
What? Did he just, like,
lost
fly off?
Lost his belt, I guess.
Huh. Wow.
Janet writes, thank you for coming to Texas. I'm back in Houston, ready to face conservative reality with renewed strength thanks to your visit. Nancy drove up from the Gulf Coast to see you. Our 42nd anniversary gift to each other. The best gift ever. Aw. People came from Honolulu.
Wow.
Von Seal came from Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes, let's see here. Staff, show exceeded my ridiculously high Kool-Aid drinking expectations. I'm so glad you came. So funny, so energetic, so sexy. Congratulations to all y'alls for an amazing evening. Yeah, I got corrected on my pronunciation of y'alls.
No, it's y'all.
Yeah, that's what that was. Someone screamed at me.
Yeah,
they're not
y'all.
Afraid to heckle you in Texas.
Yeah,
they're like, it's no S on the end of y'all. I'm like, and you know what I said? I said y'alls. All right.
Now, if you say all
the possessive, y'alls,
the
possessive.
If you say F all y'alls, that's
what I should have said.
Yeah.
Austin, in retrospect,
all y'alls, whatever, you know.
But I love you.
All y'alls guns, for example.
That's Tim from Dallas drove down, picked up some sexy little Strange.
Oh, did you meet a Strange?
Yeah, she was awesome.
She
they met
strange.
On Twitter. Stephanie Miller fans, they drove down together. She appeared to have all her limbs, didn't end up in a field. A good time was had by all.
I saw some tweets from some people who drove up from Houston, which takes some doing.
From Houston.
Yeah.
Tim and Dallas and Steph, the Austin show was great and amazing evening. Definitely worth the trip. I'm afraid I may have had a Rick Perry caught in the headlights expression during the meet and greet. One thing I do remember is how extraordinarily nice you, Hal, John, and Lisa were to everyone you met. No, you're not remembering correctly. I know the travel schedule for the tour can be hard on you. I'm getting ready to have my Rose moment in Buffalo, I'm pretty sure. This coming Saturday. But seeing the show in person made me realize that you're surrounded by so much love at these events, which help you pull through. Not really, Tim, but thanks. Which is good, because these shows are not just a great night of entertainment, but also public service. Well, the teabagging demonstration is a public service.
Yeah.
The love. Thank you for the nice thoughts, but the love not pulling me through. I'm getting ready to...
It's not the wind beneath your wings?
It's killing me. This tour is killing me. It is, Oh, Mike and Raleigh gave us a little show jingle again. Yay.
Stephanie Miller is the place to be. Charming liberals are the ones for me.
Whee!
Fans spreading out so far and wide. Just give me that box of wine.
No, in right-wing world I'd rather stay. I get allergic round the gay. I'm just a dork to watch Fox News. Darling, I love you, but give me my narrow view.
White jokes.
White folks.
Wise guys.
Some lies.
You are my wifey.
Bill O'Reilly.
Seth Miller.
Mike and Raleigh. Mike and Raleigh on fire this
yes,
morning.
Yes, he is.
No, Lisa, no.
All right. Yikes. Let's see. Oh, Virginia from Sanborn. Sanborn off the transit from Lackport, Mama's hometown. Mama coming home this weekend.
You can say
for
that with
road.
A flat A, too. Sanborn.
Sanborn. How you doing? Dear Steph, I cannot begin to express how excited I am about your Buffalo show this coming Saturday. Jen from Lockport and I bought tickets the day, actually the moment they went on sale at Shay's box office. We were in the front row, just a little to your left. Let me write that down. Last night, though, I was having a stress-related sexy liberal show dream. I dreamt I was at the show, sitting there waiting for it to start when my name was called. I was escorted backstage and then through a maze of tunnels and hallways, never getting to a destination. That's what it's like backstage at Sexy Liberal. It is one Spinal Tap after another. That and kind of being John Malkovich, there's just a lot of little doors
Malkovich.
And we're led through things and I don't know where I'm going. Let's see. Each time I asked about the show, I was told I would make it back in time, not to worry. The dream started several times, always with the same results. I can only surmise that it's a vast right-wing conspiracy attempting to keep me from Sexy Liberal. Well, it won't work. I'll be there in the front row, ready to laugh. Then grope. Love you. Virginia and Sanborn.
By the way, Jean's girl in the chat room says Sanborn is down the transit. It's not
down.
Up the
Pardon
transit.
Me. Pardon me. My bad.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, by the way, Austin was the most controversial city. They tried to keep us out of another theater there, the conservative board, and we came anyway. Like Christmas, we came anyway. Right-wing Grinches, and we're
Why,
coming Saturday.
My sweet little tot.
Exactly.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Buffalo, your native daughter, Stephanie Miller, is coming home to upstate New York, and she's bringing her sexy liberal friends.
Homeward bound, I wish I was home.
So tell me, Mama, why make Buffalo's biggest cookie?
On November 19th at Shea's Performing Arts Center, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming home, and she's bringing her sexy siblings, John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. Whether you're coming from North Tonawanda, Cheektowaga, or anywhere else, just jump on the transit and come see Mama. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Shea's Performing Arts Center on November 19th in Buffalo, New York. You can take the gal out of Buffalo, but you can't take Buffalo out of the gal.
Ah, thank you. All right. I'm going out to dinner with my high school friends first. They cannot believe people are paying to see this. Like, oh, we've been listening to these stupid jokes since 1979.
Is Carol Fisher going to be there?
Stop.
What?
Don't people... say names.
Oh, sorry.
People were shooting spitballs at you on stage.
Yeah.
All
if
right.
she is, she will love the show.
Now, of course. All right, now. Let's move on, shall we?
She'll be, right. It'll be the meat and punch when she gets there.
Stop it! By the way, where does your childhood bully live?
Roman Gomez. I have no idea. I lost track of him in fifth grade.
Does he know you're not fat anymore? That you're roidy now?
Yeah. Well, A, I'm not roidy.
Well,
and B,
you just look roidy.
Okay, yes.
And Roman Gomez.
You might be hemorrhoidy.
I drove
know,
him to roids.
Yeah, I have no idea. He was from Upland, California. If anybody knows a Roman Gomez there.
Yeah, give us a jingle. Yeah.
Upland, ironically, next to Downey.
All right. What goes up and must come down here.
Yeah,
all right. I don't know.
I had the biggest revenge over my bullies. I don't remember them.
There's your best
there
revenge.
I've completely forgotten.
You're like, I don't care. All right. Herman Cain, and the, oh, is he still in this?
Yeah.
Yeah. This was the new, everybody got, they cheered waterboarding.
Yeah.
In case you're keeping track, if you'd like to review, yay for letting uninsured people die. Yay for executions.
Yay.
Innocent or not. Let's see, what else? Oh, boo for gay soldiers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What else have we? And yay for torture. Did I miss anything? All right.
Mr. Cain, of course, you're familiar with the long-running debate we've had about whether waterboarding constitutes torture or is an enhanced interrogation technique. In the last campaign, Republican nominee John McCain and Barack Obama agreed that it was torture and should not be allowed legally.
I don't see it as torture. I see it as an enhanced interrogation technique.
Congresswoman Bachman, your opinion on this question that our emailer asked.
Mm. Well, I believe we should be more like China.
Oh, I have her.
Did you miss
be
that?
Less
Did you hear
socialist
that?
Like communist China.
Mm. Oh, dear God.
And also,
oh,
too, that
my God.
The Great Society is what caused the downfall of that, which is why we accept Medicare at the D-Gang Clinic, Marcus and I.
You idiot.
Wow. Yeah,
do you even know what the Great Society was?
Yeah. Oh, you have that?
No, I don't have that. I have her response to the question that...
All right, fine. Yeah.
I would be willing to use waterboarding. I think it was very effective at gained information for our country.
Mm. Very effective for de-gaying.
Mm.
It's how you discipline barbarians.
Marcus uses it at the clinic that we take government money for.
Medicare, which I hate because it's part of Lyndon Main Johnson.
Was I just doing Marcus's voices, Michelle? What's happening? I am so tired.
Oh, okay. Bless your heart.
What the hell was that I just did? All right, Ron. Oh, and Ron Paul. There he is. Turning the punch bowl time.
Torture is illegal by our laws. It's illegal by international laws.
Okay, those audience members are dopes. They don't even know what they're applauding. Yay for waterboarding. No. Yay for torture is illegal. What the hell?
I think those were maybe the hardcore
Ron Paul people.
Yeah. They agree with him on that.
And now I'm going to get a lot of C word because you just called them Paul bots. You see? And then I get the shrapnel.
I didn't. No, nobody.
I thought you said Paul bots because now I'll get a bunch of C word.
No. Okay, I said Ron Paul supporters.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
And they're right just about half the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But then they're 60% really, of the time. Yeah, when they're
really
wrong, they're
wrong.
Really, really wrong. Yeah.
All right, John Huntsman.
We should not torture.
Oh, dear.
Waterboarding is torture.
Uh-oh. What kind of response did that get there?
I don't think he's been heard from since.
He's plummeted to below zero now.
And furthermore, Choshong Kao Ha Sa Wa Hu Chi.
Oh, he doesn't even speak Mandarin.
Really?
Mandarin.
Yeah, that's fake Mandarin like I do?
Yeah. Okay.
Every member of this Republican field is a fraud.
Yep.
All of them. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue with more crunchy audio goodness from the Republican debate on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That is so cool. What is it?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
To the left. All right. It is the to the right. What? No.
Huh?
Just the left. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free. Oh, did you see this, Jim? Herman Cain says he was shocked when God told him to run for president. Another one.
Since he's told so many of them that he wants to be president.
That makes four.
Yeah.
Four of them.
God's decisive.
Yeah.
I think God is fickle. I don't
God's
know.
God's a little wishy-washy.
Is this the Old Testament God or the New Testament God? Probably the Old Testament God if he's voting for Republicans.
God has groped more people than Herman Cain, apparently.
He's,
Yeah.
Hey, Abraham, kill your kid. Kidding!
Waka, waka, waka. I can't believe you did that.
I'm a prankster. You knew that.
He said, when I finally realized it was God saying this is what I needed to do, I was like Moses. Boy.
I must tell Moses.
He said, you've got the wrong man, Lord. Are you sure? Okay.
Well, he said something true for a change.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Herman Cain on Lisa. Were there any questions on Uzbekistan at the foreign policy debate?
No.
That isn't a clear answer as to whether or not Pakistan is a friend or foe.
But I do know that Uzbekistan, Stanistan, Kambabekistan is no place that I want to be.
Okay. Mike in Los Angeles on Herman Cain. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, by the way, Moses never got to the promised land either. But anyway, if Herman Cain is convinced that waterboarding is not torture, why shouldn't he allow himself to be waterboarded with Gloria Aldred interrogating him on...
Mike. He could join the press conference with the women and Gloria Aldred and allow Gloria to waterboard him for some answers. There you go. Boy, howdy, cash money. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hi, Sue. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to tell you, it's been bugging me for a couple days why the Republican field, the voters, the fickleness, and then I realized they have the emotional mentality of four-year-old girls who are in love with Disney princesses. Because, Molly, every week, first it's Cinderella. It's all about Cinderella. Then it's Ariel. Next week it's Sleeping Beauty. Then it's Snow White. And so the Republican candidates are actually the Disney princesses of 2012.
Yeah, you see people like they have a little... birds are tweeting around them. Oh, it's love. Oh, Rick Perry. Oh. Yeah.
But there's only one problem, because Marcus is really pissed.
Yeah. Marcus wanted to be a princess.
I want to be a princess.
He's the evil queen, isn't he? No.
Well, one of those is true.
Mirror, mirror, on the wall. Who's the president?
Somebody else wrote a piece like that. It's like high school. It's like a different crush every 2 weeks, you know. You're just, and then it's like, oh, is your mystery date a dream or a dud?
A dud.
Oh.
Stephanie Miller.
When you open the door, will your mystery date be a dream or a dud?
Oh. All right, Dave in Long Beach. Herman Cain tried to touch me in the oranges. Dave in Long Beach. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi. The things that you mentioned that the crowd has applauded, the GOP crowd.
Yes.
Yeah, there is one you left out. It's when the guy asked Herman Cain, did he want to take back his blame yourself comment, and he said no. And the crowd's reaction there, I think, should just be put into an advertisement and play the last weeks of the presidential election. This is what the other side thinks of you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, honey. Oh, by the way, where's my conspiracy music? Did you see this? Herman Cain, Jim, says they probably a network of people likely planted all these sexual harassment allegations. Some murky network that includes the left and the right.
Oh, they're working together.
He suspects more than one person were involved in leaking sexual harassment allegations. Telling Fox News Friday while there were too many coincidences connecting Rick Perry to the story, he had no proof. He doesn't have the facts to back it up, like anything else he says. But people who do not want me to get the nomination or become president, is probably a network of them are behind this. They knew people would believe the accusation, whether it was true or not. Why would people... Okay. And by the way, all the other lying bitches that come out, they're also lying. Cain also shut down criticism he has received since joking about an endorsement from Anita Hill. He said, I found the comment from one of the attendees to be hilarious, and my response was, is she going to endorse me? That was funny. It's always good, by the way, when you have to explain why something's funny. Right. That makes it even funnier.
Yeah, here's why that was funny.
Because I would never in my wildest dreams expect her to endorse me. So you see, that's why it was funny. Because you see, it's unpredictable. Oh, when we started this campaign, I sat down with my people and I told them about this restaurant association incident.
Sure you did.
Oh. And they said, not important.
Well,
that might be one more thing. Yeah. Mark Block was wrong.
It's important enough to pay some people off.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Smoking is healthy and there's no problem with this thing. Don't worry about it. I knew
about 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Teratin. Not a cough and a carload. The fifth doctor is dead.
I know about an agreement because it turned out to be a typical employee-employer severance agreement. Oh, it's typical to give a person a year's salary. Sure. That was no legal settlement. The word we use in business is agreement. It was a routine personnel matter.
Sure.
Really? All y'all's?
I quit. Give me my full year's salary.
No,
right,
Jim.
Now.
The computer says no.
No, and I'll grope you on the way out.
Well, all right then.
All right then. A routine personnel matter. Anyone else have routine personnel matters that involve giving people a year of their salary when they leave?
I've never heard of that.
Yes. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Greg Palast next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Most illogical.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Oh, bye.
Yay. Now, is it one-third? Yes, one-third more. Jim Ward. Ward, all 3 hours. It's the Super Strike Stephanie Miller Show. Yay. 1-800-STEP-12. Speaking of awesome, Greg Palast, our buddy, of course, investigative journalist for the BBC, for The Guardian, author of New York Times bestsellers, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and Armed Madhouse, best known in the U.S., by the way. We talked to him about this for uncovering Catherine Harris's purge of black voters from Florida's voter rolls in the 2000 presidential election.
That's right.
He joins us now, my hero, Greg Palast. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, I know you're not given to hyperbole, but this is your best book ever. Vultures, Picnic in Pursuit of Petroleum, Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Predators. This is, I mean, it's in perfect time for the Occupy movement. It's an investigation of the 1%, right?
That's right. It's why we occupy. You know, the it's different than the others. By the way, I have to change the title, though, from Vulture's Picnic. I got a call from Herman Cain last night and Rick Perry. They asked me to change Vulture's Picnic to Job Creator's Picnic. I heard that laugh. What kind of laugh machine is that?
Those are real.
That's your overpaid producer.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's really, yeah, it's an investigation right in these guys. They take you, you get to meet their trophy wives, get into their trophy homes, and get inside my crazy investigations. So it's very different than the other books because it's really kind of pulp nonfiction, as Bobby Kennedy calls it.
You got my attention right away. It says, along the way, Pallas gets drunk, gets sober, gets laid, gets arrested. It's pulp nonfiction. Do tell.
Yeah, oh, that was... I can't tell at all because then who's going to go look at
exactly.
it? So, by the way, I'm annoying my capitalist pig publisher by putting out the first chapter for free at vulturespicnic.org. My publisher is partly owned by Gaddafi. I'm not kidding you. Giant penguin, yeah.
Yikes. Talk to us about who are the 1%. Are they job creators or nation destroyers, as it says in the book?
Well, if you were on the stakeout with me, I mean, even if you were sober, and it would still be grim.
Yeah.
And the key vulture, Paul the Vulture Singer, number one donor to the Republican Party since Ken Lay of Enron shunted his moral coil.
Mm-hmm.
Paul the Vulture Singer, and I give him that name, his bankers, and I think his mother did. What they do is they use bribery, they use blackmail, they use babes, all the bees that we'll get to British Petroleum, to get their hands on like old debts and dying nations. I was just in Congo last week following up for BBC on this story from Vulture.
Right.
And they take poor nations, they find some old debt, which they usually get through, like I say, bribery or whatever, and then they hold them up for ransom. And they will get something like, say, 200 or 300 times what they pay for it, or else. They just shop.
Well, seeing a foregone conclusion that it's going to be Mitt Romney as the nominee, I was reading a piece about his whole, this weekend, about, you know, Bain Capital, the whole, here he is running as a job creator, trademark Republican Party, and what he did, looks like to me, is destroy jobs or outsource them, with Bain Capital.
Let me explain how they do it. He's also a vulture fund operator, or I should say a job creator fund operator.
Yes.
What they do is, in the case of Paul the Vulture Singer, Mitt was part of these deals. Okay, they bought like the asbestos companies, which were, you know, killing their workers. They lied. They didn't tell their workers, by the way, if you take this job, you're going to die. So when they got caught, they turned over the profits of the companies to the workers. They said, okay, we'll pay all our profits to our workers. The vultures got a hold of this, and then they elected themselves. Well, they didn't elect themselves a president. They worked with Ms. Harris to get themselves a president, and they ended up with it changing the law so that asbestos workers lost 80% of their compensation.
Wow.
Suddenly, these cancer factories are worth billions, and Paul the Vulture Singer kicks back tithes liberally to the GOP for the job. Well, that he made over $1 billion on cutting out payments to guys whose lungs were melting.
Yeah.
Nice guy. That's what these guys do. Now, it may sound grim.
No, no, so
like,
far.
They took the money from a cholera clinic that I was at in the Congo last week. You have to laugh, otherwise you'd be in complete tears. But the important thing is that I get inside on these guys, like British Petroleum, you know, like Deepwater Horizon explodes.
Yeah, tell us about that. That's one of the book notes. What was the real reason that the BP Horizon blew out? Talk to us about that.
Well, I get this. It blows out. And the important thing to take you on the investigation, I get a cable from the Caspian Sea, from Azerbaijan. By the way, if you don't know where Azerbaijan is, don't worry. When the 82nd Airborne arrives there, you'll get it. It's a nation on the Caspian Sea, pooped out by the Soviet Union when it collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a message from a ship floating in the sea saying, "This is not the first time." Click, you know.
Yikes.
So I fly to Azerbaijan, to this Asian capital. Not easy, not so easy to get in. Not so easy. They were very hard.
Yeah,
to
that's
get
not
out.
A one hop. Yeah.
Yeah, and find out. Yeah, there was a blowout. By on a BP rig, identical Transocean BP rig, using the same crap cement that Halliburton uses, and they covered it up. Now, how do you cover up something like that? Deepwater Horizon, you know, you had Anderson Cooper down there, you know, cleaning oily birds, you didn't see the picture of him pouring the oil on the birds, but that's different. But in Azerbaijan, they had this happening. BP covered it up. Beatings, bribery, and, wow, and lots of babes. That's why sex is in the subtitle, or the subtitle that Penguin wouldn't let me publish.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really true. And so I go there. And by the way, I'm crossing the desert to get to the BP terminal to find out what the hell happened. And it ended up bad. I get arrested. Ended up badly for Rommel crossing the desert, too. But it ended up badly for me. I get arrested. And they take my film, right? I'm with BBC, right? Oh, God. But so I look panic enough, and but at least they let me keep my pen. But they didn't know that I had one of those Austin Power jobs that has the you know, the camera inside.
Uh-huh.
And so you can actually see those films at vulturespicnic.org.
You're like an investigative, wow, James Bond. You know that.
So does that make you an Azerbaijani come lately?
Not many see people making that joke.
Oh, I lose the James Bond award every week, as you'll see in the book.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us quickly, Greg, before you go. But Fukushima, you talk about the real cause of the meltdown there.
Yeah, after I throw a fit at Ms. Badpenny, that's a real name, my investigatress, who said, you got to put Fukushima in the book, and I, like, throw a fit, I can't use the words I used, but it's in there, obviously she won. I had in my files, literally sitting in my file cabinets, the engineer's reports, because I was, from my old investigative files, I pulled out the investigative report, and you'll see it in Vulture's Picnic, it says, this plant cannot withstand an earthquake. That's the handwritten notes of the engineers.
Wow.
This plant cannot withstand an earthquake. Right. And then we go through what we have to go through to get this stuff. That's kind of the fun part, because the idea is that instead of just telling you all this grim stuff as I did in my other book, I figure, you know, the truth is, well, not always, because it's pretty grim at times, but, you know, it's a lot of fun. I just thought you should be along with me.
Yeah, it's awesome. You're going to be here in L.A. This Wednesday, November 16th, right at the Presbyterian Church, Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, at 7 p.m.
Stop me. Yeah, what, at
yeah,
7 p.m.
I will not stop you. Perfect. Perfect in time for the Occupy movement is an investigation of the 1% Vulture's Picnic is the name of the book. Greg, we'll see you in L.A. on Wednesday.
Got you then. Thanks.
All right, thanks, honey. There he goes. Investigative James Bond.
Yeah.
With his special secret pens. Yes. All right. Let's go to Stephanie in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
I was listening to Gingrich, and he was trying to – they said he was asked the most intelligent question, and someone should ask the Wall Street occupiers who's paying for the park. It's just no big business. The last time I remember civics class or social studies, which I'm sure he had to, but he may have been asleep or eating, that – public taxes pay for parks. I live in a town with 900 people. We don't even have any business, and yet we got a park.
Right.
So the occupiers who are occupying are the ones who pay for it, so they have a right to be there. So someone should answer him his question, so he needs to know the right answer.
Yep, that's a good point. Thank you. They belong to us, the parks. Will in Pennsylvania. Hi, Will.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I was wondering. I was wondering, with all these Republicans saying God told them to run for president, wouldn't it be appropriate at one of these debates for one of these reporters to actually, like, kind of question their sanity? In other words, say, are you really hearing voices? Is that what you're telling us? That some voice in your head is...
Someone should say, I mean, Herman Cain, does that mean that Anita Perry, Mrs. Perry, is also a lying bitch? Because she said that God wants Rick Perry to be president.
I mean, I call that hallucinating. I mean,
most people would.
I'm the only one in the. Yeah, right. So I think, I mean, I wish they would actually start calling these guys out for these really insane comments like that. I don't want somebody in the president who's psychotic. You know, I mean, I'm weird that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, exactly. Well, when Rick Perry came out and said, I'm thinking, governor from Texas who thinks God wants him to be president, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
All right. Rick Perry at the debate Saturday night.
That make any difference whether it's Pakistan or whether it's Afghanistan or whether it's India.
Well, we remembered all three.
The foreign aid budget in my administration for every country is going to start at $0.
Wow. Yeah, and that includes Israel.
Israel will be happy about that.
Yes.
Did that activate the Rapture Bot 2000? Michelle Bachmann?
We are
oh,
them final
Jehovah
days.
Guys. Oh, God.
You are the Jehovah God.
Don't let Rick...
Lord, the day is at hand.
Oh, God.
We are in the last days. Oh, you are Jehovah God.
Oh, God.
Spark stutters flying out of her.
Please don't let Ron Paul or Rick Perry it up. Oh, please, God. Please.
Let
us
take over Israel so we can reform the Jews.
Please
let
my
die.
Husband like me. Please. Oh, please. Okay. Newt Gingrich.
Please DK my husband.
Please, God. Oh, Jehovah God, please.
But now, people are looking at me seriously. Our resources are going up. The amount of people going to news.org every day and donating has gone up astronomically. So it's a very exciting time.
Astronomically.
And I'm going to go into tonight's debate doing exactly what I've done.
Exactly. Realistically. Mm-hmm. Astronomically, frankly.
Oh, speaking of realistically, guess what? Herman Cain now, he would not be Romney's VP, but he would like to be Secretary of Defense.
Oh. Even though he doesn't know the name of Uzbekistan?
No. Let's bomb that Uzbekistan.
Wow.
It's a former Soviet Socialist Republic. You should probably know this.
Yeah.
It's one of the places they worry about loose nukes. Mm-hmm. You ever hear that?
He was on Michael Savage's radio show, so right away, you know, he's a serious
That's where you go for cogent political debate.
Yeah, Secretary of Defense, he said, that's the one I could be excited about, you know, to help the generals and commanders on the ground to get what they need, do what they do best, to, that is, to kick the you-know-what out of everyone in the world.
Wow.
Mm. Oh,
Wow.
Wow. That's his idea of what it is means to be Secretary of Defense.
And we're going to start with Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
And then Hardistan and Laurelstan.
Yeah.
This is the most comedically gratifying and terrifying Republican field we've ever had, isn't it?
Where ignorance is a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. That knocked me windless there for a minute. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rick in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, good. How are you?
Just fine. Went down to your show on Saturday. Almost missed it, though.
What?
Because my nerdy wife was looking in the Austin Chronicle on page 36, and there's an advertisement for your show.
Yes.
And it says November 12th. Sunday at 4 p.m.
I heard about this. Yeah, I heard of all the right-wing conspiracy theories. Yeah, and we still had a packed house. You saw it. But, yeah, somebody ran ads saying the show was Sunday.
Wow.
I know.
That's subtle.
I hope you didn't pay for those, because if you did, you better get your money back.
Yeah, I know. You know, here in L.A., they tried to – somebody hacked into Google Maps, so it said that our venue here was permanently closed when people
Wow.
Yeah. Fortunately, liberals are smart enough to operate the MapQuest.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a great show. We laughed our heads off. I mean, I was hurting so much when the show was over.
Aw, thank you, honey. Well, I'm sorry we have two headless listeners in Dallas now, but thank you for that.
All right. Thanks.
We have zombies.
Were these ads that the show took out, or did the show take out any ads in the Austin Chronicle?
Listen, Austin was already, that's where the Grinch who's tried to steal a sexy liberal. They wouldn't let us into a theater there because the conservative board said no.
Computer says no.
So we went to another theater and sold out. Aha! Tee-hee! And we gave some of the proceeds to Texas Freedom Network, which is to fighting the influence of the religious right in Texas.
Right. John did an interview with the head of that Texas Freedom Network, and she was so awesome.
I know. So it irritates the right wing even more. Despite all their best efforts, we're still selling out and still giving proceeds to sexy liberal causes.
They're working to get creationism out of school textbooks in Texas, which is worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, it was a love fest. You know what was great? Von Seal from Asheville met Tim in Dallas.
Really?
Von Seal, get over here. It's Tim in Dallas. and she writes, Von Seal writes, Steph, I received an email from Tim from Dallas. He said I look young enough for you to date. Stop it. If only Lisa, Michelle, my husband, extreme distance, and my hopeless heterosexuality weren't in the way. Von Seal, who had fabulous time.
She is
and,
all
right. And her snooty French husband.
Her snooty French husband, Michelle.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, this just in from our friend Gloria Allred. A previously unidentified witness to the relationship between presidential hopeful Herman Cain and Sharon Bialik will hold a news conference today with attorney Gloria Allred.
Oh, dear.
The witness is a pediatrician. He was the former boyfriend of Bialik. He met Mr. Cain with Bialik, and she told him that Cain had engaged in the inappropriate touching shortly after the incident.
He was my boyfriend!
He's a lying bitch, too.
Oh, by the way, let's see, who is this from? This is a from the Austin show. Let's see, Michael in Austin. Dear Ms. Miller, can you please forward me Gloria Allred's contact info so I can sue your show for false advertising?
Uh-oh.
Hal Sparks' pants were not painted on. There were clearly wrinkles visible. And the so-called side boob I got during the meet and grope felt more like rib cage. Maybe you should have had the 3-enchilada platter. Equeros. Worst of all, though, was the lack of a picture during the twatch shot. Oh, I borrowed his camera for my twatch shot. Hmm. It did look like you were pushing all kinds of buttons while my BlackBerry was down your pants. Maybe you should give lessons on that to Anthony Weiner. Regardless, I had a great time. Please come back soon, or I'll have to report you to the authorities regarding the Mann Act and Lisa. All right, I don't know.
The what?
I don't know. P.S. If I accidentally had Siri fire Chris when I was trying to take an iPhone picture, can you please hire him back?
No. The computer says no.
Aw, come on. Siri doesn't want to fire me.
I know. She's so passive-aggressive. I do not know what you mean by
fire
Chris LeBlatt.
Now you know why I was pushing you to get an iPhone.
I do not know this, Chris LeBlatt.
Your BlackBerry would have fired my ass a long time
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. My BlackBerry was ruthlessly efficient. All right. Oh, this is the reviewing Tommy in Columbus that you forgot in the Republican debate crowd responses.
Mm-hmm.
Herman Cain, serial sexual harasser, women, cheers. That was the other thing. Right. Yeah, execution, cheers. People dying broken in comas, cheers. Waterboarding, cheers. An American combat vet who was worried about his civil rights and legal rights as a gay man, booze. Oh, and then he also points out, by the way, we executed the Japanese after World War II.
Yes, for waterboarding.
For waterboarding. Just FYI. Oh, John McCain even said today, disappointed in the Republican.
Yep.
That says a little something when John McCain's disappointed in the Republican.
Yes, he's very disappointed in you.
John McCain, himself a victim of torture.
That's right.
Well, yeah, he said.
He said waterboarding is torture. Uh-huh.
Yes. All right, and by the way, he's the guy that lost in the landslide the last time, so one can only wonder what's going to happen to this particular field.
Hmm.
Anita Hill refused to comment directly on the Herman Cain sexual harassment charges.
Good.
But said she felt just gratified.
Above the fray.
Yes, exactly. Even, this is, you know something, the shark has been officially jumped when Newt Gingrich is lecturing Herman Cain.
Correct me. Here's how you treat chicks.
On morality. Uh-huh.
Yeah, wait till they get really sick, and then divorce them while they're in bed.
Uh-huh.
And,
frankly,
then, you know, get started on the new chick before you dump the old chick, just in case there's, you know. Yeah.
He said on Friday, this is not something to be joked about. You know, morality is very, very serious.
Uh-huh. Yes, he takes it very, very seriously
in other people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. He earlier on Friday, Cain defended the comment saying he gave a humorous response to a question that was asked in a humorous way and didn't mean it as an insult to Anita Hill.
There's nothing funny about what happened to Anita Hill.
Shockingly, Cain's starting to see his support from women erode in the polls. I don't know why.
That's weird.
According to the latest CBS News poll, Cain has a support of 15% of Republican women primary voters, down from 28% last. Okay. Hey, wow, Mitt Romney, is he trying to lose by even more once he gets the nomination? On Veterans Day, he picked to talk to veterans about saying maybe veterans' health care should be privatized.
What?
Wow. Mitt Romney floated an eyebrow-raising suggestion on Veterans Day, privatize veterans' medical care.
I think you need to be paying more for your health care. Hmm. And to have it denied if you're too sick.
He has already proposed privatizing Medicare. He suggested that maybe giving wounded warriors an outside option would force health bureaucrats to be a little more responsive. Isn't our veterans' health care like the best version of health care basically we have? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty efficient.
Protect Your Care was quick to pounce on the suggestion, which could have the effect of diverting cash away from the Veterans Administration. It is well known that Romney wants to take away seniors' Medicare and turn it into a privatized voucher system, but it is unfathomable that on Veterans Day he would even hint at privatizing their VA health care. Although I guess that's the kind of thing they should expect from someone who in the past has said his sons also served their country by campaigning for him. Oh dear. It's a Republican field. Oh, dear. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy. Voice deity Jim Ward. That's right. I said voice deity Jim Ward. Back for all 3 hours of the Stephanie Miller Show. People very, very excited. Where is my jingle for Jim Ward? Voice deity.
Very, very.
Jim Ward.
Can't,
all right.
Can't find it.
All right.
Okay.
I could sing it myself, I suppose.
Voice deity, Jim Ward. I need about three other parts to
yeah,
back
exactly.
me up.
Yeah, the rest of your quartet. Edie McClurg, by the way, got a movie.
Yay.
She will not be joining us today. We are, this is the thing, Jim. Stephanie Miller Show like magic, as you know. Aisha Tyler got the talk, so she can't join us anymore regularly. But then she will be calling in, and Edie will be in as once in a while. But
that's
she
right.
got a new movie, which we're very excited to hear about, and she'll be in
Absolutely.
To promote that when it's out.
And we still have 3 hours of
Voice Deity, Jim Ward.
Very exciting. All right. And Sexy Liberal rolls on, by the way. Oh, this is from Jim on Facebook after the Austin show. Steph bought my VIP tickets the instant they went on sale months ago. Hope to see everyone there. Spread the word. And let's get Steph on a local radio station. I listen on XM and Ustream, but a local broadcaster would multiply her listeners. You think? We used to have a station in Austin. That's weird. There's no market for liberal thought, apparently.
Yeah.
Except that we just sold out in Austin, and also I think we're sold out in Fort Lauderdale, where we used to have a station in Miami, and we don't anymore.
A rather successful station.
Because there's no market for liberal thought.
Well, they replaced
comedy.
It with a sports station, right?
It that, has a that, zero now.
Zero rating. Zero. Yeah, that's some capitalism there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see. Austin and Texas desperately need more insight into the absurdities. It's a radical right that has taken over this state through carefully orchestrated propaganda and denial of general media access to sane policy and analysis and exposure of corruption. Let's start a campaign. Okay, well, exactly. I'm just thinking any enterprising radio company that wants to make money might look into that. Just saying.
But not that way. They don't want to make money that way.
It's one of the phenomenons of this show, right, Chris?
That's right.
Places where we don't have a radio station anymore. The show is incredible demand, selling out places we've never had a radio station, for
yeah.
God's sakes.
Yet?
And
gee,
yet,
it seems
somehow...
Like there's a market there for someone to make money if they weren't right-wing asshats.
There's a major East Coast metropolis that might be getting this sexy liberal show.
Really?
That,
fancy that.
They have a
broke
couple
a million
of those.
That has never had progressive talk.
The number one comedy tour in the country this year. I guess that's because there's no market for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Austin staff,
why do you
great
hate capitalism?
Show here in Austin. My wife and I were in the front row. We had a great time. My wife has never heard your show. She was laughing the whole time. Also meant to tell you have the best show on the radio. Somehow I failed to do that. Maybe I should just be happy I didn't say flarg when I finally met you.
Flarg.
Flang.
Flang.
Flang. I really hope, I think that's what I said the first time I met Oprah and Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
Flang. I really hope you get on a terrestrial radio station here in Texas. Yes, wouldn't that be nice? We don't have one.
Not one in the
There are people
state.
There from San Antonio and Dallas where we also used to have radio stations that we don't anymore, and yet
we used to be on
they
two
drove
different...
all the way to Austin.
We used to be on two different stations in San Antonio.
Oh, weird. There's no market for that.
Hmm.
Oh,
not that I'm bitter.
And by the way, I did notice that at the meet and greet in Los Angeles here a lot of people were very nervous meeting me, and I'm like, dude, I'm just... Don't be nervous.
You're, well, it's because you're all roided out. They were afraid you were going to... Roid rage on them.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Turn green, rip your shirt off.
Thought I'd go all Hulk smash on them.
Larry, writing a letter in support of the Mookage.
Oh?
Dear Steph, I had to boycott the first Chicago Sexy Liberal Show because of your exploitation, mistreatment, and neglect of your mooks. Whatever. Being a Chicagoan, I think you have to dance with the mooks that brung you, so I couldn't in good conscience support you when you last jetted into town for your wild weekend of booze, broads, and shows, parading around my beloved Chicagoland while your poor mooks were left at home thousands of miles away. Your heartless Republican upbringing showed itself in how you treated those poor, unfortunate mooks. Don't you realize without them you are incomplete, still smoking hot, but incomplete, and you think they could be replaced by a couple of pretty boys with tight pants and big hair?
Big hair? Oh, well, they do have big hair.
Pretty boys.
Yeah.
Oh, the mooks don't want to go. The mooks don't travel well. There's restraining orders.
Whatever.
The mooks are homebodies. All right.
You're saying we have lives? Is that the...
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, kinda.
Like, you go, you broken down old war horse. We don't want to go. All right. Mama going to her hometown, Buffalo, next up this Saturday. Hurry. Tickets almost gone there at Shays. Go to sexyliberal.com. Fort Lauderdale, the big show coming up in December. And then on and on and on. Dear God in heaven, if I'm still alive. Aaron writes, Steph, since you guys refused to schedule a Tokyo or Seoul show. Oh, good.
Well.
or even a, let's see, a Minneapolis show that would coincide with my vacation plans, I purchased tickets to the Portland show. So I'll have to tell my parents that, you know, we haven't been home for a few years, but we've got more important things to do, sit here and reconnect with family. That's what Skype is for. By the way, can you babysit when we fly to Oregon? Can't wait for the show. We got the VIP tickets, and so we're super excited. That's the first one in January, first one in 2000.
Rose City, get ready, because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Yes.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing a trail to Portland, Oregon.
Well, Portland, Oregon is...
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, and tell me what is
Oregon.
Beaver Face Cherry.
Beaver Cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
All right. Thank you, kids. Oh, by the way, somebody wore their beaver. The woman, kid said her husband was supposed to wear the beaver T-shirt, and he did, and we did the lines. I said...
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuck.
Oh, he said it right on cue. I said, nice beaver shirt. All right. Oh, by the way, busted. Roland, sexy liberal tour director, just sent me this.
Uh-oh.
Someone named Ann emailed him.
Yeah.
Said, Roland, we saw you. We recognize you from Facebook. Yeah, Roland's much more famous than the rest of us at this point.
Yeah.
And Stephanie at the Padgy House. That's where we went to dinner before the Austin show.
Mm.
And then walked right behind the four of you to the theater Saturday. It was clear in the way and the manner you were... This, where's my love music? It was clear in the way and the manner you were walking with her, with your two friends way in the front, and with Stephanie's arm on your lower back. And when you wiped her hair away from her face, that you two are actually having an affair. My friend is a psychologist and agreed. Stephanie should stop lying about being a lesbian and admit to what's going on. Other lesbians don't appreciate her using a young blonde as a front to the obvious relationship you two are having.
Okay. Wow. That is so...
All right, you got me! Rowan is my soulmate. I'm actually going to stay with him in New York this week. Mm.
That is so wrong on so many levels.
Chris, just come clean. I'm no Herman Cain. All right, Anne, you've got us. Okay. All right. Thank you, Anne.
Wow.
I hope Lisa didn't hear that. She'll be crushed.
Oh, yeah.
To have to hear it so publicly like that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's awful.
Especially after you asked her to inspect your bruises on your ass.
Oh, no, that's Jim's going to do that later. I have unexplained ass bruises from Austin. I don't know what happened.
So you didn't have Lisa inspect the bruises on your ass?
Yes, no, she's the one that originally identified them. But Jim needs, Squeezy needs to do a closer examination to find out what happened there.
I think you got these in Uzbekistan.
Hello now. Greg in Indianapolis writes, Steph, I'm sick to death of Republicans calling Americans lazy because they're out of work. Thank you, Herman Cain.
Mm-hmm.
Did they really think that we collectively awoke in late 2008 and decided a home, a stable family, and a secure future that we'd been working for all these years suddenly wasn't worth the effort anymore and chose instead foreclosure, insecurity, and strife?
That's what I'm saying.
You're the smartest boy
bunch
in class,
of lazy-ass bitches.
Also, I just bought a one-year subscription to your socialist propaganda with very capitalist methods, so please don't have any rose moments until next September. Thank you. People are mostly concerned about their own. They don't care if I stroke out. It's just the timing of it.
Right.
It's upsetting.
Not yet. Next month, fine, but not now.
Until after Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
All right, Doug in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Doug.
How you doing, Stephanie?
Good, go ahead.
I got one, actually two questions. One, has not the GOP forgotten about the Geneva Convention?
Yes. Yep.
And two, why isn't all the Republican Party brought up on treason charges?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be nice.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well, I was like George Bush said, international law, I better call a lawyer.
Teehee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how bad it is on the Republican side. Washington Post, E.J. Dionne, maybe it's time for the GOP to direct a new candidate.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
This is
really?
Mediaite writing, the Republican Party is going through a very bizarre primary period after a year of turmoil that saw potential candidates rise and fall in a spectacular season of semi-weekly debates that provided more awkward moments and embarrassing gaffes than a comedy writer could dream of. All, so they're saying, you know, it looks like they're convening around Romney, their safest candidate. Washington Post's E.J. Dionne is asking whether it's time for Republicans to draft someone new. Dionne comes to this conclusion from examining the latest polls, which show that Undecided is polling at 17%, someone else at 14%.
Wow.
Herman Cain is in first place in the CBS News poll at 18%. But while all the chess pieces keep rearranging themselves, Dionne notes the resistance to Romney in Republican ranks is the one constant trend in polling. Every candidate, except for, you know, Wizard.
Wizard.
John Husman from the band.
Excellent!
Seems to have now had their turn as frontrunner with Newt Gingrich after everything from Glittering to Tiffany's to losing his entire staff is on some sort of surge.
Maybe they should clone Eisenhower again.
Yeah.
He'd get the roast fixed.
Well, as he's saying, normally it would be too late for someone else to get in, but there's clearly a space here for another candidacy, a gaping hole where there would be somebody.
I can't name a single person who would get the nomination.
Yes.
I honestly can't.
You know what I'm thinking?
What?
Silvio Berlusconi.
He's out of a job.
He's kind of a... A mixture of everybody on the Republican side.
He could bring boomsy parties back to the White House.
Bunga bunga. Aren't they bunga bunga parties?
Bunga bunga parties,
sorry. We'll explain what they are.
Charlie Pierce had a joke on that. Wait, don't tell me yesterday.
Oh, did he?
All right, well, we'll tell you all of that when we return. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You get my name. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you with the nature of my game?
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show with the noted Rolling Stones impersonator Jim Ward.
He's got the moves like Jagger.
Yeah. Didn't bring the harmonica this morning.
Looking at a Gibson Les Paul Jr. right now. Online.
It's the first time he hasn't been looking at porn while the show's
on. Yeah, what's up with that?
That's guitar porn.
All right. My friend Rob's into that. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Judy in Dallas. Hey, Judy.
Squee! Stephanie, that was a great show on Saturday.
Thank you, honey.
We had so much fun. And isn't my husband good? He was good, right?
Your husband wore the Beaver T-shirt, and he did his lines perfectly.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy! Squee! Yeah, you wrote the email with the subject line, Squee! We have our tickets.
That's right. We were so excited. We road tripped. We had a blast. And at the venue, we drank wine out of straws.
Yay. Oh, awesome. Classy with a K, just like Mama.
Right? That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, honey.
One more thing?
Yeah.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
You tart. All right. Thank you, Judy.
Is your husband leaving town?
Oh, boy. All right. Jim, I'll bring you back some road tarts. Don't worry. Next time I go.
Some what?
Road tarts.
Road tarts.
Oh, I thought you said, never mind.
No.
Ranch flavor.
It was kind of a giddy show because, you know, we got the Republican feud going on.
Welcome back to the GOP feud.
Okay, gentlemen, we surveyed 100 Republicans. What is something to feel good about? Ron.
Helping the sick.
Let's see, helping the sick. Remember, Ron, these were Republicans we asked. Yes, Republicans. Okay, Jim, something to feel good about?
I will say execution.
Survey said execution.
People dying without health care. Booing a gay soldier. Torture.
Show me torture. And you won. Thanks for playing GOP Feud.
So does that mean Richard Dawson has to come out and tongue kiss every single one of the Republicans?
Yeah. Herman Cain wants
it. Isn't he muerto?
No, is he still alive? No, Richard Dawson's
still alive.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Lewis in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, I didn't kill him by saying that.
Yikes. Hi, Lewis.
Yeah, I'm calling in today because I'm actually one of the youngest. I'm 21 and I'm a registered Republican. I'll let you get your gasps out now. I'm calling in because I would actually vote come primary election. I'm going with the Mormon. Now, I say this because, the Republican primary right now, it's like drinking a vial of poison.
Yes.
But I think his vial of poison is like a day of bad Thai food. I'll get sick and it'll hurt, but I'll survive. Whereas someone like Kane or Perry, that's arsenic and gasoline. I don't have a chance.
You're funny.
Thank you. come the primary election, I mean, I'm going to vote for Obama. I mean, really, there isn't a single one of them who can actually stand toe-to-toe with Obama on pretty much any issue, Republican or Democrat, which I think is great. Don't get me wrong, Fox is going to spin it in the other direction, but if we actually go by what they've actually done, Obama's got this, so...
Yep. Thank you, honey. Yeah, chill out, motherfucker. Yeah. He's got this. Yeah, wouldn't you just love that? I just, to see him debate Rick Perry would have been a thing of beauty. That's the only sad thing about Rick Perry's implosion.
I've got all night. You can.
Yeah, what was the third thing?
That's, you got two things.
52 seconds.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, that. I think that is a record, isn't it? From wherever he started in the polls, he's now at 4% in the polls.
U.S. Americans don't have access to maps, and also such as...
Okay, and meanwhile, tonight, as we mentioned, Gloria Cain. It's going to set to air tonight with Greta Van Susteren on Fox News, the first time she speaks publicly. Herman Cain maintains Jim, his wife, supports him 200%. Why not say 999%? 200? I don't know. All right.
He's kind of dropped that 999 thing. Have you noticed that? He really doesn't talk about that anymore.
Once everyone realized he had no idea what he was talking about. It's
exactly.
All right. Forget it.
All right, 909. You know what? Forget the whole thing. Gloria Cain told Van Susteren she can't see her husband doing the things. Well, of course not. He doesn't do it in front of you. That's the whole point of cheaters.
At least he's smart about that.
She said, I'm thinking he would have to have a split personality to do the things that were said.
Well.
Yes, there's something of a shocking revelation to her, as most women, guys don't cheat on their wives in front of their wives. A little shocking.
She's a Democrat.
He never grabs anybody's in front of me.
Yes, she came out as a Democrat.
Wow.
Really now?
Yes.
I would be too if I were married to Herman Cain. All right. And President Obama hit back at Mitt Romney yesterday over saying he's trying to simplify the nuclear issue and is playing. Because it is amazing, right? Like, these Republicans make it so Michelle Bachmann, gas will be a penny when I'm president. That'll happen. What?
No.
And Mitt Romney said Iran won't have nukes if I'm president. Okay. The president said, is this an easy issue? No. Anyone who claims it is either politicking or doesn't know what they're talking about. Mittens. not only the world, but the Iranian regime understands very clearly how determined we are to stop Iran having...
They also understand that Israel has 200 nukes. And,
yes.
If they have one...
They're better at math than Herman Cain. Yeah. 29 minutes.
Not going to help them a whole lot.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, look, let's just all agree that she's odd, huh?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere, 34 minutes after the hour. Wow, I got a subject line.
You are an idiot.
Oh.
From Linda, but apparently it's a letter of concern that, this tour is killing me. Steph, so far you have one show a month for 2012. Try and keep it that way. Say no to double shows, I already have.
Mm-hmm.
But then I keep flip-flopping, like Mitt Romney.
Uh-oh.
No two or three different shows in a month. I've said that already. I can see how totally exhausted you are this morning. I'm going to have to stop with the Ustream. Do I look that bad this morning?
You don't
morning?
Look particularly exhausted this morning.
Thanks.
No more than usual.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought you don't need to be everywhere all the time?
Well,
you're heading for a stage collapse. Don't want to hear about that. I would rather see the whale penis take you out. Oh, thank you very much. Take care. Linda in Minneapolis, thanks for that. Mm. All right.
She said as she bought her tickets for the Minneapolis show.
Oh, by the way, did I announce that? I forgot about that. I'm so tired I announced that inadvertently last week. But yes, uh-huh.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show made Minnesota one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour in 2011.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12, 2012, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour featuring John Fugelsang,
You are smooth, smooth, you know.
Hal Sparks.
Little guy, kind of funny looking.
And Mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You darn tootin'. Come on and
thrill me, Mama. Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Because Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
All right, kids. Oh, looky here. Speaking of sexy liberals, I didn't realize this. For today's show, Steph, this is from Jay. George Clooney loves fart jokes. He admitted he and his pals love jokes about passing wind. George said it's one of the funniest things. Even the idea of a fart makes me laugh. Saying fart makes me laugh. I fart on my phone. I have remote whoopee cushions. There's nothing funnier.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Just when I thought I could not love him more. Just when the restraining order is lifted.
Mm. Didn't you climb his fence to try and get at him?
Uh-huh. We'll just see him better, because he plays basketball shirtless near where I live.
And you threw a whoopee cushion at her.
That's how you knew it was meant to last.
I should have just done that. I should have brought the fart machine. Yeah. And I would have, like a moose call, like a moose mating call. George.
And he missed the layup. He was laughing so hard.
What is that? Suddenly our eyes met. All right. Oh, I had, because E.J. Dionne wrote that the Republicans need to maybe find a new candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too late, really. Find someone else. And I made a suggestion, Silvio Berlusconi.
Yes.
Gawker has a great piece. Silvio Berlusconi, Europe's most embarrassing prime minister, finally resigns. The bunga bunga era is over. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi resigned as expected, bringing to a close 17 years of his wacky, corrupt, and deeply embarrassing domination of Italian politics. Arrivederci. Berlusconi was unquestionably one of the most loathsome people in global politics, a dishonest misogynist. He's all the Republican candidates mashed into one. A racist fool, an admirer of fascism whose enduring contribution to the world besides a crippled Italian economy, a systematically corrupt federal government, and an even worse global reputation for Italian politics and gender relations, is the word bunga, as in bunga bunga, as in holy... The Italian prime minister is throwing orgies and calling them bunga bunga parties.
That's right. I think the Republicans are going to try to recruit him.
I think so. Yeah,
he's all the Republicans. And then, all the Republicans rolled into one spicy meatball.
He's their dream candidate. That's how on a spicy meatball.
He once called Angela Merkel, what is she? Oh, an un-f***able lard ass.
Yes.
Wow.
Nicely done. Nicely done. And he also, Gawker points out, the first time he called Obama tanned, and then he also called Obama tanned a second time.
Mm-hmm. He's like, it makes Herman Cain look like, Mother Teresa. Wow.
I know.
They look at politics differently in Italy.
Mm, I guess so.
Better in Italian.
Well, they had a porn star nominated. Cicciolina.
Cicciolini.
Yeah.
Cicciolina, yes.
Yeah.
So
it was any less ridiculous than the California governor's race. I mean, come on.
I think was originally Hungarian when she moved to Italy. Okay.
All right, Gawker with another great piece. Bill O'Reilly's new Abe Lincoln book banned by the place where Abe Lincoln was shot. How many more indignities must Bill O'Reilly suffer as he tries to peddle his published wares to the discerning public? First, the acclaimed television host and author had to witness U.S. soldiers burning his pinheads and patriots and boasting about it. And now Ford Theater is banning his new Abe Lincoln book for being wrong about everything.
Wow.
Ford Theater has banned Killing Lincoln, the shocking assassination that changed America forever, a new book O'Reilly wrote, because it's, quote, sloppy with the facts and slim on documentation. For example, it says Lincoln held meetings in the Oval Office when that office didn't exist till 44 years after Lincoln.
Wow. Oh, dear. What a moron.
And some
Bill O'Reilly kind of a pinhead.
Yeah. Lincoln used his product on the imitation leather couch.
Robo used his product only occasionally, but tonight was special. He had two 15-year-old girls who would do anything for the drug, and he was determined to exploit the situation.
He can't even write porn.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
Oh, boy. Okay. I hesitate to follow that with a... Oh, boy. But you know what? We got talking in Austin on panel about Penn State because being in Texas where, football is religion. How similar is it to the Catholic Church? I mean, it is just the more details you read about this story, the more awful it becomes, I mean, the president had some...
I think it's a good time for us to do some soul searching. Every institution, not just Penn State, about what our priorities are and making sure that we understand that our first priority is protecting our kids.
Well, Well, and we were also saying, you know, it reminds me of, the, you know, when we were talking about Herman Cain, you know, it's not about sex. It's never about sex. It's about power.
Yes.
And that's what kills me is that people go, you know, in some corners they go, oh, it's a gay thing. It's not a gay thing.
Nope.
Most pedophiles are heterosexual identified men.
Yeah.
It is not about sex. This is child rape is what
it is. It's a child rape scandal. It's not a sex scandal.
Oh, I mean, some of the graphic parts of it are just, you know, I mean, I was reading more details yesterday. So first of all, like a janitor saw him giving oral sex to a 10-year-old.
Right.
Then this, what's his name, McQuarrie, the coach, saw him having anal sex with a 10-year-old in the shower.
Right.
Both of the Sandusky and the kid saw him.
Yeah. But according to current Pennsylvania state law, people are not required to go to the police to report child abuse cases.
Yeah.
McQuarrie did the right thing under Pennsylvania law by going to Paterno. Paterno did absolutely nothing.
Well, right. But here's the thing. I was reading one piece on it. That here's the thing. You know, you walk in on adults. We all get it, that reflex of, oh, you know, I saw something I'm not supposed to see. But this is a big guy.
And a 10-year-old
boy. You saw someone
boy.
Raping a 10-year-old, you're not going to stop it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, to me, just, I don't know. That was the original disconnect. You know, it's not some sort of, you know, it is, you have to say, like the Catholic priest when they, oh, well, that was bad. We should move him to another parish. It's like, this is not, you know, I think Chris, oh, by the way, we're having Chris Matthews on tomorrow.
That's right. We are.
Along with Katrina.
Ha, fair enough.
Yes. Along with Katrina Vandenhoevel and Christine Romans.
Yes.
It's a big show tomorrow. But anyway.
And Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal.
Right. But he was saying, and I thought rightly so last week, about people using these euphemisms, low, you know, molestation, or, you know, he said it is rape.
Right.
When you hear described exactly what happened, there's no way to sort of, you know, soft pedal this. I mean, I didn't get the Occupy movements. I get. What was the rioting? What are they rioting? Were they rioting for child rape? I don't understand.
How
do you support Paterno? And
that's where football as a religion comes into play.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's what led to all of these cover-ups, because these football people at Penn State could do no wrong.
Yeah.
See,
this is just so weird about this country. I don't think any other country in the world has this intramural college sports.
Yeah.
Or if they do, that doesn't have this kind of religious importance to people. I mean, you know, in Europe, you go to college for an education, and you do sports
and
in your own time.
As you should here in the United States. But football and other athletics have taken over many, many colleges, including my own, my own alma mater, Arizona State.
Yeah. You were saying last week, just the more these revelations come out, just the grosser it gets, that about donors.
Apparently he, according to some
Sandusky.
Reports. Sandusky was offering kids up to significant donors to Penn State Athletics.
Wow.
It came out, apparently the Sanduskys live near a school, and apparently there was an interview in 1987 with Sandusky where he said, I love being around children.
Yeah.
Michelle Bachmann, by the way, incendiary as always, because this is obviously an important discussion you need to have, but...
Yeah.
Is this responsible? Is this someone that you want as president of the United States?
The lens that I look at this through is as a mother. I'm a mother of 5 biological children and 23 foster children.
Some mechanical?
And my heart is, I think, is reflective of that of the American people. This is so horrific on the level of a parent. I think about my children, if that was my child. And I think my automatic reaction would be, even though I'm a small woman, I'd want to go find that guy and beat him to a pulp.
Well, you know... I really can't take issue with what she said.
Yeah, but
because as a parent, you know,
right.
None of us here are parents, so we probably don't have that instinct.
But I'm just saying, you know, if you're looking at look at what's been cheered or booed at Republican, you know, debates, and it's just to actively promote now violence. It's like clearly that's not the answer. In total, is something a lot larger than that. You know, I understand the instinct, but it's just I don't know. It's always leave it to her to always make the incendiary leap to,
She's not going to be president, so.
Really? Okay. Whew,
Jehovah
thank God.
God said she would.
Thank God. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, your thoughts on this and ours as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Thank you.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, the Gloria Allred press conference today with a somebody corroborating Sharon Bialik's story about Herman Cain. I love this. Cain's lawyer warns other accusers to think twice before coming forward, or they'll be smeared too.
Oh dear. That sounds vaguely threatening.
Yeah,
huh?
L. Lynn Wood, the lawyer hired by Herman Cain to fend off sexual harassment accusations, has warned that any other woman who might be considering coming forward
should shut the hell up.
Yeah. You are preemptively, we're just saying you're a lying bitch.
Oh dear. Oh boy. Oh my.
Okay. Let's go to Jason in Winnipeg on the Penn State scandal. Hello, Jason.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good. I just wanted to say I've been following this Penn State thing kind of closely, but not really. But I'm just wondering. You know, I think that the Penn State itself, the university itself, acted appropriately by basically dismantling the power structure of from the president on down. But not even just the president of the athletics, but the whole president of,
right.
of the college
right.
is gone. And what I'm wondering, and I heard a congressman or somebody on TV today, he wanted the entire NCAA to be investigated because they operate like the mafia and all that stuff. But I just wonder why he wouldn't say the same thing about the Catholic Church, because I'm a victim of molestation of the Catholic Church when I was younger, and I think that they operate in very much a systemic problem. I don't think there's a systemic problem in the NCAA with regards to child molestation, maybe some other things, but I don't think that there's a systemic problem in the NCAA, but definitely in the Catholic Church. And why is there such reverence for such a corrupt organization? And people are all over the NCAA and all over Joe Paterno and all over these people that admittedly they didn't do enough, but they didn't do these things to this kid. There was a sick individual that did, but why is the same attention not being paid to the Catholic Church? And as somebody that was a victim
where it is clearly systemic. Yeah, that's right, Jason.
You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, like these people that because of Jesus and the God and the bullshit. Oh, pardon me.
Oh dear. All right. We have to say bye-bye now. You were doing so well until the S-bomb. But it's an emotional subject. People, let's go to Amber in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Amber.
Hey. I just wanted to say something to all these kids, if any of them are listening. I just wanted you guys to know that you're not alone. This stuff had happened to me, too. And just go to someone who you think is appropriate, and, you know, you're in my prayers. I feel for you. No one's saying anything about you guys. And I just want to let you know that, you know, you're not alone. And, you know, I wish I could give each one of them a big hug.
Well, Amber, that's why, you know, and again, this is obviously a much bigger story, but I was just saying my original reaction to the guy, seeing him in the shower, I mean, my you know, first reaction is, you left him there?
Yeah.
So what, the guy could, so Sandusky could finish? Like, you know,
excuse
him there crying?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. you know, you just interrupted a crime. You didn't interrupt adults having sex, you know? Jim in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, to add to that, too, Steph, here's the thing. You know, I feel sorry for these children. You're right. The adults should have stepped in, and they should have said something right then and there. They should have just taken this guy Sandusky out and said, look, you know. And separated them, but here's the deal.
Well,
you should separate them.
That's what I'm saying, Jim. It's not, and again, I'm not like promoting violence. This that you call the police. That's what you do. You've seen a crime, you call the police immediately.
Sure. Well, when I say take him out, I mean removing from the scene. I'm not talking about hurting him in any way. Let the law courts decide what his punishment is. But my point is, okay, you see where Penn State and certain individuals didn't turn this in for God knows how long because they didn't want their reputation tarnished.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so what's the difference? I know that it's a very personal thing, but think about how major corporations do this to people when they have something that goes wrong. Nobody in this society wants to admit that they could have possibly had anything to do with anything like that. They don't have anybody that has any integrity. They don't have anybody that has any honesty. And they just play it by ear. And let me assure you, having worked for a major oil corporation, the last thing they want is for their reputation to be tarnished.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with Penn State. You know how much it's going to cost them? And this is the way they're thinking. I think that
Joe football's Paterno big business. That's right.
Oh yeah, you bet. I think that Joe Paterno went and told them, and they said, "You know what, Joe? Maybe we keep this on the down low because you know how those damn alumni are."
Yep.
You know, and so now you're paying for the sentence that you should have paid for 12 years ago.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Let's go to John in Chicago. Hi, John.
Hi,
Hi, I just wanted to, I've got a friend who's, you know, university, famous university in Indiana, and he was telling me that they rely on the football money to pay their bills every year. And
sadly, that's true.
They're not going to allow morals to get in the way of money making. And this is the problem. It's nothing to do with reputation. They just need the money, and that's why they want it kept on the down low.
Yep. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. All right. Well, you know what? You got to give Michelle Bachmann credit, Jim. She got one thing right on, in the foreign policy. She identified Obamacare as the biggest threat to national security of our nation.
Sure.
Yeah. Said it would undermine America's strong national defense during a foreign policy address.
Yeah. And the... The Great Society is what's causing all the problems now. Like that Medicare that Marcus Backman is using for his D-Gain clinic.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody who uses the pejorative Obamacare, I immediately just tune them out because they're not serious about debate over it at all.
Yeah, it's just name-calling. Yep. You're exactly right. Let's go to Bill in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Steph. I don't know one single person that I would consider a friend or a relative that if he were a... quarterback, a Big Ten quarterback, and 25 years old and walked into that scene that would not have had him by the throat.
Well, that's what, yeah,
and
exactly. Like, why would this guy be, you know, physically intimidated by Sandusky? I mean, that's what I just don't get, that instinct.
I don't understand how anyone could turn around, walk away, and wait until the evening to call your dad to ask him what to do.
Yeah, let me think about this for a minute. That's such a gray area.
Think about this for a few hours. Yeah,
exactly. Let's go to Kathy in Ohio. Hi, Kath.
Hello. The way I understand that it went, after Paterno was talked to, he talked to his boss, and they called the state college or the campus police who talked to the city police, and the city police are the ones that said there wasn't enough evidence.
What, eyewitnesses aren't enough evidence?
Well, I'm just saying this is what, it did keep going.
So what you're saying is maybe the police were trying to hide it as well.
Something big is hidden, and I don't know where it'll stop.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out.
Well, Penn State is big business for the town of State College, Pennsylvania, so maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we need to end with some fluff to get that all out of our beautiful minds.
Stephanie Miller is the place to be. Charming liberals are the ones for me. Fans spreading out so far and wide. Keep Steve Ducey, just give me that box of wine.
No, in right wing world I'd rather stay. I get allergic round the gay. I just adore to watch Fox News. Darling, I love you, but give me my narrow views.
What jokes?
White folks.
Wise guys.
Some lies.
You are my wifey.
Goodbye, Bill O'Reilly.
Seth Miller, we are there.
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. We will see you tomorrow with Chris Matthews, Christina Vanden Heuvel, and Christine Romans on the Stephanie Miller Show.